Post Bran Flakes present Believe It or Not. Again, Post's 40% Bran Flakes bring you Bob Ripley with more of his amazing Believe It or Not, with B.A. Ralph and his orchestra and lovely Linda Lee. Yes, sir, life is swell when you keep well. And say what a really swell cereal Post's Bran Flakes are, crisp and crunchy, and what a wonderful nut-like flavor. And then those extra benefits, the benefits of Bran so many of you may need to help you keep fit naturally. So why don't you join the millions who enjoy Post's Bran Flakes every day for their delicious flavor, for their extra benefits. Yes, life is swell when you keep well. And here's that dandy debonair deliverer of dauntless, definite, delectable, demonstrated deep dive dealings, Believe It or Not, Bob Ripley.
And welcome to the program tonight.
Bob Ripley, I guess I need more than a week to find out the answer you gave me last Tuesday. Say, what's going on here?
Why, Linda, that's the Believe It or Not echo we have on the program tonight. I'll tell you more about it later on. But what was your problem, Linda?
Well, last week you asked me if a man can have three children, each born in a different century.
Yes. Well, a man can and did. That man was a Frenchman named Pierre Dufanel. He had one son born in the 17th century, another son 39 years later in the 18th century, a third son 63 later in the 19th century when he was 121 years old, and a statue has been erected to him in the town of Barjac, France. Old Pierre would have probably married again and broken another record, but he died prematurely at the age of 129, believe it or not. B.A. Ralph and his orchestra give us a bright new tune. I fall in love every day. Okay, B.A. Believe It or Not sketch tonight, I'd like to take you on a romantic excursion into the mysterious land of Egypt. The time is May 1797. The place, the French consulate in Cairo. The French consul, Count de Lesseps, is talking to an Egyptian abuna about an important discovery made by the consul that morning. The consul is speaking.
Your Reverence.
While excavating near the Sphinx this morning, I dug up a small package wrapped in royal blue linen. It contained this stone plaque covered with hieroglyphic writing. I would like you to translate it for me.
I can never understand why you Europeans call it the Sphinx. That is the statue of the god Horus, with the face of a man and the body of a lion. However, let me see the plaque.
Here it is.
La mer yukun waghak tul ijam hayat. Amazing. Very interesting. This is a find of great importance.
Please translate it for me.
This is an old story. 3,200 years ago, a man named Thutmose stole a sacred amethyst necklace from the temple. He was brought to the king of Egypt for punishment. But instead of punishing him, the king rewarded him by adopting him as his son and successor. You see, the thief explained that in a dream, the Sphinx, the god of ancient Egypt, had commanded him to steal the necklace.
What a delightful bit of fantasy.
Ah, but it is not fantasy. It is an accurate happening of Egyptian history.
Really?
Of course. 10 years later, 1,420 years before Christ, that thief, Thutmose, actually did become the ruler of Egypt in fulfillment of the dream. And to show his gratitude to the gods, he buried the necklace and this plaque near the statue of the Sphinx where you found it this morning.
Would you like to see that sacred amethyst necklace also?
What? You found the sacred necklace too? Let me see it by all means.
I have it in the anteroom. I will call my little son to bring it in. Edmond.
Yes, Papa.
Edmond, I want you to bring me the package wrapped in blue linen on the table in the anteroom.
It is not there, Papa. I have just seen our servant, Ali, put it in his pocket.
Get him immediately.
Yes, Papa. Ali! Ali! Stop!
Funny. Ali is an honest servant. He never stole anything before.
Here is Ali, Papa.
You told me, Master.
Where did you steal that package from my table?
Countless ships. Effendi, I am no thief. I swear it to you by the beard of the prophet. I only did as I was commanded.
Commanded? Who commanded you? What nonsense are you speaking?
Please believe me that I was commanded. Last night, I had a dream.
A dream, did you say?
Yes, Your Reverence. A stone statue appeared before me, and it spoke. I remember the very words. It said to me, Ali, my son, go to the anteroom of your master, the Effendi Count Lesseps. There you will see a package wrapped in blue linen. It contains a sacred amethyst necklace. Take it as your rightful property, and your destiny will be fulfilled.
Your destiny fulfilled? Oh, this is too fantastic.
Wait a minute, Count Lesseps. Ali, what did the statue in your dream look like?
Your Reverence, it had the body of a lion and the face of a man.
Incredible. That is an accurate description of the Sphinx as it was in the other dream.
Effendi, I am a true believer in Allah. But when I came here this afternoon and saw the very package I was told to take, I could not help myself. I had to take it. Oh, be merciful, Effendi. You have your package. Let me go. Let me go, Effendi.
Very well. You may go.
Oh, thank you, Effendi. Thank you.
It's truly amazing. The same dream that ancient Thutmose had 3,000 years ago. The same Sphinx, the same necklace, the same words. Your ignorant servant Ali bears watching countless steps. Perhaps one day he too will be a king.
Impossible, Your Reverence. It is too ridiculous.
Eight years pass. We are still in Egypt. Now the time is May 1805. the French consul is about to pay his official respects to the King of Egypt. As our scene opens, Count de Lesseps is being ushered into the presence of the king.
Your Majesty.
Come, Count Lesseps. We are old friends.
You are now King of Egypt, as your dream prophesied.
I am king to 14 million subjects. But to you, Count Lesseps, I shall always be your watchman and your faithful servant, Ali.
And so, by a series of amazing political events, history had repeated itself. In 1400 BC, a servant inspired by a dream stole a sacred necklace and gained the throne of Egypt. 3,200 years later, the servant of the French consul had the same dream and stole that same necklace, and he too became king and pasha of Egypt and ruled Egypt and Syria and a large part of Asia with a mighty hand for 44 years as Muhammad Ali the First. The descendants of this servant have ruled Egypt for the last 100 years, and from him is directly descended Farouk the First, who rules Egypt at the present day, believe it or not.
For our post-Brand Blake audience, B.A. Rolfe and his orchestra play You Were Meant for Me. Linda Lee sings.
If you wonder why I'm near, even though I've been denied, I'm inclined to be a little on the sentimental side. I suppose I should forget you if I had an ounce of pride. But I guess I can't help being on the sentimental side. I should act gay, laugh it off and say farewell, say it just didn't wear well, but I'm not that way. I'm in hopes you'll think it over and perhaps be satisfied with a simple sort of person on the sentimental side.
Linger a while.
Butterfingers.
I was just going to look over those lovely Mickey Mouse cereal spoons on the table, and whoop, down they went.
Well, that's all right, Linda. Here, take a good look at one. You see, it's a very special offer we're going to make right now. What do you think of this Mickey Mouse cereal spoon, Linda?
Oh, it's darling. I've never seen Mickey in such a funny pose. And look at that jolly grin on his face and Mickey's signature right on the handle. It's wonderful, Ford.
And, Linda, just look here on the back of the handle. That's the trademark of the world-famous William Rogers Manufacturing Company. Every one of these Mickey Mouse spoons carries their unlimited guarantee.
Say, I'm going to play fairy godmother to every youngster I know. They'll love these Mickey Mouse spoons. How do you get one, Ford?
Simplest thing in the world, Linda. All anyone does to get one of these lovely Mickey Mouse cereal spoons is to send one Post Bran Flakes box top and 10 cents in stamps with your name and address to, believe it or not, Ripley, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Let's see. To get a Mickey Mouse cereal spoon, you just send one Post Bran Flakes box top and 10 cents in stamps and your name and address to, believe it or not, Ripley, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Correct, Linda. So, folks, tomorrow morning, ask your grocer for a package of Post Bran Flakes. Send for your Mickey Mouse spoon, and at the same time, treat the whole family to this delicious cereal that's more than a cereal. Enjoy Post Bran Flakes' wonderful nut-like flavor, and at the same time, the extra benefits of bran. Benefits many of you may need to help keep you fit in perfect trim. Then you too will agree that life is well when you keep well.
On this Saturday, all eyes will be on the greatest racing event of the year when the Blue Brother champions of the turf will line up for the historic Kentucky Derby. But that's not the only kind of racing that's popular in the United States today. For instance, I have here as my guest tonight a man who has done much to popularize racing. He has come all the way from Kokomo, Indiana. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen. I present that racing man supreme, Horace Truman Chadbourne.
Good evening, everyone.
Bob, who's Mr. Chadbourne? I've never heard of him, and I'm an old racing fan.
Linda, you mean to tell me you never heard of Mr. Chadbourne?
Yeah.
Why, he owns racetracks from Peoria to Los Angeles.
That's right, Mr. Ripley. And I won't rest until I get a track and a stable in every home.
A track? Stable. Excuse me, Bob. You don't mind if I get into another corner of the studio, do you?
You think we're crazy or something?
Crazy? Of course not. Putting racetracks into every home, that's perfectly natural, of course. Say nothing of stables of horses.
Excuse me, madam. Did you say horses?
Yes, that's what I said. Horses.
Why, Linda, nobody was talking about horse racing. You must have been misled or something. Mr. Chadbourne here earns his living by racing horned toads, believe it or not.
Yes, sir. It's just like horse racing, only more exciting. And sometimes our tracks are as long as 15 feet. The entries all have names. There are prizes for the winners, and sometimes there are thousands of dollars bet on one race. And it's all on the level.
All on the level? Well, tell us, Mr. Chadbourne, what horned toad holds the world's record for that 15 feet of racetrack?
The fastest horned toad was owned by me, and her name was Elgin. She was a man of war of horned toad racing.
Yes.
And she ran that 15 feet in 10 seconds flat. You know, it like near broke my heart when she passed on. She was a grand filly, game to the very end. She broke her leg, and we had to shoot her. I'll never forget the look in her eyes.
Well, I know just how you must feel. And I thank you very much, Mr. Chadbourne. Sorry I touched upon so delicate a subject. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard from Horace Truman Chadbourne, who actually makes his living racing horned toads. Believe it or not. For my next Believe It or Not, I'm going to present the most unusual man I have ever come across in many years.
His name is...
Hey, Bob, is there a nickel in the house?
Well, I'm sure I heard an echo. Either that or there's something wrong with the control.
I just heard it just then.
You're both right. It is an echo. We got to know how to stop it, that's all.
Say, let's see you stop it. Just listen to that thing. It's getting worse, Linda.
It's all very simple, B.A. You just bite your little finger, you know? Right here, huh? See that? No more echo.
Miracles, huh? Tell me, how can you possibly control an echo by biting your little finger?
Very simple, Linda. This echo is alive.
Alive?
Yes, Linda. He was the man I was trying to introduce when we were both so rudely echorupted. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet that human echo. The man who can echo simultaneously any conversation or sound the instant you say it. It makes no difference what language you use or how fast you talk. Meet Mr. Ed Albany of Milwaukee. It's a pleasure to have you here, Ed. Why, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, that's my business.
Oh, I see. Now, I think to prove your unusual ability to our radio audience, I think there's only one thing to do. I will choose at random several persons from our audience here who are willing to come up before the microphone. I will ask them questions, and you will echo their answers. And whatever they have to say, simultaneously, I want you to say it right with them. So, ladies and gentlemen, you can speak as fast as you like in any language you want. And now see if you can prevent Mr. Albany from taking the words right out of your mouth. Now, will some volunteers please raise their hands? Don't be afraid, just... raise your hand. Let's see now. First, I see a gentleman over here. Would you mind stepping up here, please? Stand right in front of the microphone. And will you tell us what is your name?
Kenneth McGregor.
Kenneth McGregor? That you're not Scotch, are you?
Well, a little bit.
Way back, I mean. You know the Haig brothers.
Well,
I've met them. Tell us, please, where are you from? I mean, what part of Scotland?
Massachusetts.
Rock and
Massachusetts.
The Massachusetts clan.
Almost
you
got
them. Where are your
kilts? Well, believe it or not, I've got some kilts.
Can you look Scotland? I got some kilts in Scotland, but then I bought them 10 years ago and they don't fit me now. Aren't you afraid you'll catch cold?
They're nice and warm in winter.
Hey, tell me, how does it feel to be echoed like this?
I haven't figured it out yet, but I kind of hunched it. He wouldn't go so well in Scotland.
Why not?
Well, if he happened to get up in front of a bar and somebody said, will you have a drink quick? He'd be stuck with me.
Thank you very much. Mr. McGregor, thank you. Someone else help us out in this manner? I mean, don't be afraid at all. Someone, will you, young lady? Yes, thank you.
Can you come up
here, please? You're not used to this, are you?
No, I don't mind.
Microphone, now will you... Will you tell us your name, please?
Yes, my name is Theodora Yates.
And where do you live?
I live in Canada.
Canada?
Yes, maybe you wouldn't know where it is. It's a little town up north of Toronto, about 400 miles north.
And
almost
what is
makes it 800.
And what is your occupation, may I ask?
I don't work. My father's a farmer. I suppose I'm just a farmer's daughter.
Oh, you are? You mean you are the farmer's daughter that I've heard so much about?
No, not that.
Well, tell me, Miss Yates, how does it feel to hear your own echo like this?
Well,
say, how would you like? You're not married, but
no.
How would you like to be married to Mr. Anson? Is that for man?
I wouldn't like that very well.
Why not?
Well, I'd kind of like to get the last word.
Thank you very much, Mr. Anson. Help us out here, right? Look who's over there. There's my old friend Lou Lair. Come on, I didn't know you were there. Ladies and gentlemen, come over here. You better look out, Ed Alvin. You're going out for this one.
Okay.
Here's my old friend. He's the star of the Fox Movie Tone and of radio, who appears every Wednesday with Ben Burney on the U.S. Royal Masters program. Now, take a deep breath, everyone, because here is Lou Lair himself.
Monkeys are the craziest people. Yesterday afternoon, the little hippopotamus... What is this? Am I speaking twice? There's an echo in this... Echo. Hello? One of my eels must be backfired. Here? Double toss. And I thought one of me was enough. I think he eats carbon paper for lunch. Well, this better. From now on, it's going to be different. People is the craziest monkeys.
And Ed Albany, Mr. Echo Man, I think that's truly remarkable. I don't see how you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard from the human echo. A man, by some mysterious coordination, can echo simultaneously whatever another person says, believe it or not.
Well, right now, I'd like to remind all you folks that life is swell when you keep... Say, what is this? You keep out of this, Ed Albany. Although I can't blame you, that's a saying that anybody would echo. And folks, you all know the benefits of friends. How they may be the very things that many of you may need to help you keep fit naturally. And Force Bran Flakes bring you these wonderful benefits in a most appetizing form. A delicious and crunchy cereal with a different nut-like flavor. So tomorrow, join the millions of folks who begin each day regularly with Force Bran Flakes. Learn why we say, life is swell when you keep well. And now, Linda, you've been studying these Mickey Mouse spoons so carefully. Just how would you describe them for our listeners?
I think I'm falling for Mickey.
Yeah?
They're grand big cereal spoons with a swell full-length figure of little old Mickey Mouse that stands out on the handle. They look expensive, Ford. You say they're made of genuine heavy silver plate?
Yes, indeed, Linda. They're made and guaranteed by the William Rogers Manufacturing Company. Now, of course, everybody will want these grand Mickey Mouse cereal spoons for children in their own family or for young friends of theirs. But listen carefully. For every spoon you want, send one Post Bran Flakes box top and 10 cents in stamps with your name and address to Believe It or Not Ripley, Battle Creek, Michigan. The supply of these marvelous Mickey Mouse cereal spoons is limited, so send for yours right away. Ask your grocer for Post Bran Flakes first thing tomorrow.
Next Sunday is Mother's Day. It should be every day. And at this time, I can think of nothing more appropriate than to read to you the famous poem of Edgar Allan Poe. I feel that in the heavens above, the angels whispering to one another
confined among their burning terms of love, none so devotional as that of mother.
This is Ford Bond saying good night and keep fit for the makers of Post Brand Flakes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.